Trust you are all well. I know there's a lot of sicknesses out there right now, including my sister Carolyn, who usually comes, isn't here this morning as she is sick. We're excited to be here this morning to share with you what God is doing in Albania, and just a few verses from Scripture as well to encourage us along our journey this week. God is alive. Do you believe it? He's working. We believe it. He's doing great things in Albania, and I believe he's probably doing, he is doing great things right here in Victoria as well. And so we just want to, the first part of this time is kind of an interactive time with you. We want to see how much you remember about Albania from the last time we were here. So we're going to have a little quiz. And we brought along our signature prizes, M&Ms, Murray and Maureen. This is just to spur you on when you're in the grocery store or when you eat your candies. It's just a simple thing to help you remember to pray for Murray and Maureen. So we'll have some prizes. If you get an answer right, you're going to get a package of M&Ms this morning.
Just a word about how my husband is dressed. He doesn't normally come to church this way. However, it tells a little bit of a story because Albania is very rich in history and culture. And so all his garments are made there in Albania, but particularly his hat. It tells a story because it is dome-peaked. That would tell you that he's from the mountains. The other style of hat for men is completely flat, which would tell you he's a man from the field area. And people in Albania tend to think that people from the fields are more cultured. So they might look at my husband and think, he's from the mountains, and come to their own conclusion about him. I don't believe that for a moment, but this tells a story about his where he came from.
There we go. I think I just got it on. Hopefully the projector should come on in a minute. Forgot to do that part when we came up. We asked a question last time we were here, if anybody knew a famous Albanian person. Do you remember who that was? Mother Teresa. Our first prize for the day. You get a package of M&Ms because your Mother Teresa is Albanian that's her background, even though she was born in what today is known as modern Macedonia. So she was an Albanian lady, okay? And Albania is situated where? Okay, southeastern Europe, right. Mom, you'll get a prize later, okay? We'll give you a prize later. You had your hand up there, too. You got to shout really loud, Mom. Okay, Albania is situated in southeastern Europe. This is what Albania looks like if you were to take it and just cut it out of a map. And if you were to superimpose that on top of Vancouver Island, you'd still probably have about a third of Vancouver Island left over. So Albania is a very small country. It's only got 3.5 million people living there. Okay, we've already answered part of that question, Gary answered, but there's a name for that part of the world where Albania sits in Macedonia and Balkans, right there. It's called the Balkan Peninsula, okay? And the Balkan Peninsula has quite a number of countries in that area. Larry, I want to see whether you know the next answer. How many countries would you say are in the Balkan Peninsula? Anybody have a guess?
Seven?
It's greater than seven.
Five and ten?
No. Well, you're getting closer with your ten number there. Yeah. There are 12 countries in what is called the Balkan Peninsula, and you can see the countries there. Albania is... I guess I can use my pointer. I'm not used to this thing. Right there. And we live in Tirana City, the capital. And there's one country missing on this map that came into being in February of 2008. Huh? So I heard it.
Kosovo.
You already got a prize, didn't you? we got half prizes, too, so we'll give you a half prize. So in 2008, Kosovo came into being, which was part of Serbia, right in here. And the reason why it came into being is because Kosovo is 95% ethnic Albanians. And so that part of the world There's a lot of animosity and hatred, and that's why they need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Serbians despise, they actually hate the Albanians. The Albanians hate the Serbians, and so Kosovo came into being because the Albanians that lived in Serbia wanted their own state. They wanted to be independent. The trouble is, that's the best part of the land of Serbia, and Serbia today is still very bitter about that, that they have separated and have their own country just on the edge of Albania now. Okay, here's an Albanian man. He's a mountain man like I am. Looks a little bit like me. Can anybody tell me, and we didn't tell you this last time, or maybe we did, I don't remember, what people group do the Albanians descend from? Does anybody know? Okay, time for a Bible drill. Hold up your Bibles by the spines. This is what we used to do in Sunday school. No electronic Bibles allowed. They're forbidden in this exercise. If you want a prize, I'm going to give you a reference, and you can find out who the people descend from. Romans chapter 15, verse 19. Go. First one to get it, stand up and read it.
There we go. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Did you say 15 verses 19?
Romans 15, 19.
Oh, Romans chapter, there we go. By the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum,
right,
and I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ.
Excellent. Okay, that man deserves a prize back there. Well, first of all, you have to tell me, who do they descend from?
Well, it looks like Jerusalem.
Okay, but where did Paul preach the gospel all the way to? Illyricum. Who lives in Illyricum? The Illyrians, right? The Illyrians live in Illyricum, okay? So the Albanians descend from a very ancient people group, a tribal people group that used to, well, if I had the map back up of Albania, they would encompass that whole area and part of the Balkan Peninsula as well. And so they're a very ancient people group. Okay? We just got a little slideshow here with a little bit of music to a song, just to give you, a slide is worth a thousand, picture's worth a thousand words, and it'll save me a little bit of time here this morning, just to give you a little bit of insight into some of the things we've seen God doing in this last year. I forgot this was my part. This is a wonderful Albanian couple that we've been working alongside for 2 years now, Clementi and Javi. Clementi and Javi are... they just love the Lord, and they love children, they love teens, and so we've been able to work alongside of them in a mentorship role and discipling them in their faith and just continuing them in their development in leadership. And that's their little girl. For 6 years they've been praying for a baby, and God answered that prayer. But when we first started working with them, we had just a little children's ministry. In fact, 2 years ago when we went back, there was just a children's ministry, meaning they would meet two or three times a week, 30 to 50 children, and it was wonderful. We had a great group of kids. But we wanted to see this thing slowly develop into a church. And we were praying, saying, Lord, how would you have us develop it? And one of the things that we really wanted to do was find a new location, because in the area in which we're living, the building in which we had our children's ministry, we had it there for about 3 years or more. And all the people in the neighborhood thought, okay, Christianity is just for children. It's not for adults. And we're working in a Muslim neighborhood, because that's all who came to the meeting was kids. So we said, Lord, would you help us find a new place where we could change the location and begin by calling it the Evangelical Church of São Kivieter, and because that's the area in which we live. And God led us, this man, into our lives. He's a Muslim man. Shucho is his name on the right there. 69 years old. Does not know the Lord yet. Does not have a personal relationship with the Lord, but I believe he's softening. And hopefully later I'll have time to tell you a little story about him. But God led him into our lives, and he had this rundown house that hadn't been lived in for 2 years. It's a three-story building, except the doves. The doves had lived there. You know the birds, the doves? They had lived in it, and it was, well, you can imagine. I don't need to describe it. It was just a mess. And it took us a lot of work to clean up that house. But in the end, we got her cleaned up, and we made our apartment on the top floor of this house. And we made the first two levels our ministry center, which we call the Sauk Evangelical Church. And so it was just a neat thing how God provided this place. It was a lot of work to fix it up, but this is where we meet today. And it's an amazing story how God has been developing His church.
I'm not sure this is on.
Yeah.
The thing is, a little congregation has to do with people, not to do with a building. A building is a great place, and we need a building to meet in. But I wanted to tell you about this girl, the girl on the left, or the right rather. Her name is Arlinda. When we first met Arlinda, she was 11 years old, and two things stood out to us. One was she was a committed believer. She'd become a believer in the Lord Jesus through those children's ministries when she was about 9. And she prayed fervently for her mom and dad. If you mom and dads are here and you encourage your children to pray, you could encourage them with this story. Because Arlinda prayed, and not only did she pray when she was with us and with her children's leaders, but she prayed in front of her mom and dad that they would become believers. And she's a very determined young girl. This is her a little bit later. You can see the look in her eye is one of determination, and that's her commitment to the Lord. She's that determined. The other thing she used to pray was that we would be able to meet as a church in Albania, in Sauk, in her neighborhood. Two prayers that, as I listened to her pray, I thought, Lord, how will we ever see this happen? How will you answer this prayer? This is her younger brother, whose name is Ervin, and he's also, as a younger boy, had a great interest in the Lord. And in more recent days, as he's gotten towards the age of 12, he's being pulled away by the internet. And in Albania, most children don't have a computer in their home, but the internet cafes are all around. There aren't very many parental controls because they're all at work. And the boys get drawn into things that they should never be able to see, but they don't have the kind of controls that are needed. Now, during the slideshow, you saw that there were two people that committed their lives to the Lord. Their names are Lirim, who is the dad sitting down to the right, and Dalin Dushe sitting behind him. And Arlinda now, a little bit more grown up, is the girl standing up. She is the one who prayed for her mom and her dad. And now we see a family where the mom and dad are committed believers. So we know that it's not just a thing to say in church, oh, we should pray for so-and-so, or we should pray for this or that, or this person's salvation. It really is the way the Lord chooses to work. And so we're grateful that Arlinda had enough faith to pray, not only just privately for her mom and dad, but in front of them. So after Easter last year, I guess it'll be 2 years ago, we said to Dalin Dushe and Arlinda, would you ever be interested in studying the Bible? Yes, they said that they would. So they met in our living room every week, and we did a chronological approach to the Bible. They had never heard any of the stories, not of the story of creation, not the story of how sin entered the world, nothing. They knew nothing. So we met each week, and little by little, the lights came on. And we not only did we spend time studying the Word of God, we just spent time just being together. This was last Christmas at our house. Spending time is the language of love to an Albanian. And they also came and gathered with us every Sunday evening. We had a little congregational meeting. We didn't always do things that we're kind of used to doing here necessarily, but always the Word of God was opened up in one way or another. And Lirim and Dalin Dushe are the first adult believers in our little congregation, and we are so thankful to the Lord for them. There they are in the middle of the photo with Clement and JD to the right and us to the left, just before Murray and I came home. And we would value your prayers that Lirim and Dalin Dushe would grow in their faith, that they would come to have a hunger and thirst for the Lord, that would that they would be drawn to read His Word, and that they would truly grow, because we look at them, and particularly Lirim, see him as one of the leaders in this little congregation that's just starting to grow. So we would appreciate your prayers very much for them.
one of the challenges that we face with this dear couple in discipling them is that Lirim works 7 days a week to provide for his family. The economy in Albania is not great, and he works two jobs. He's a military policeman, and he also works in a home building center, you might call it. It's a little store that sells cement and all the supplies for building, because that's the way most buildings are built over there. And so please pray for us that we would be able to keep a regular time with this dear couple. We believe they're key in the continuing development of our little church. We have seen a miracle happen over the last 2 years. We started with a little children's ministry, and now we're meeting every Sunday night with 20 to 25 people that come, and only half of them are believers. And so there's other people coming because they feel a sense of community, but they're hungry. They want to know what is the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. One more little story. Viordis is on the left there. This is about the age when we met him. He might have been a little younger. This is him. He just graduated from high school this year. He's 18 years old. And on the left is Lirim, who Maureen just talked about, the father, who Arlinda was praying for. Viordis is the only believer in his family. Comes from a Muslim family. We're working basically in a Muslim neighborhood. Mind you, you need to understand that most of these are not religiously Muslim people. They're more traditional. When push comes to shove, they're Muslim, and they'll let you know that. But they don't practice their faith. Most of them don't even know what they believe when it comes to the Muslim beliefs. And so, but Viordis has taken a lot of hardship from his family for becoming a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was times when he would show up at our youth meetings and we could tell that he had been crying. We could see the marks on his neck where his bigger brother had just grabbed him around the neck and pushed him to the floor, and he was just banging his head on the tile floors. Viordis has suffered for his faith. And in the West here, we have a hard time understanding that, but it happens. And even in our little area that is reasonably traditional and not religious, it still happens. When young people will make a profession of faith, they suffer for it in their families. But Viordis has stood. And this year we have the privilege of sending him down to a little Cape and Ray Bible school in southern Albania. And he's there right now, and we're praying that he will get more grounded in his faith and really come to understand that Jesus is the only way, and there is no other way, and that he will come back and be one of our future leaders. This picture is very significant to me because this is the future of our little church that we have just beginning to see planted, is some young men who've accepted Christ. And in that part of the world, it's not easy to get men into the church. And so we're very thankful to the Lord. We are so thankful to the Lord for what he's doing in our little area at São Kivieter. On the back, at the table, we have some prayer cards. Feel free to grab one, and you can take it home. And if you'd like to receive monthly updates that we send out via email, our email address is on there. You can email us and say, please add us. Or there's a paper at the back that you can sign and put your name and your email address on that piece of paper. Just for the remaining few minutes, I just want to share with you. I don't want to preach at you this morning. I want to share with you some of the things, as Maureen and I have been reflecting on our journey in Albania, some of the things that God has been teaching us, and very specifically, two things this morning. It's easier to be doers often than beers. In other words, it's really not about what you and I can do for the Lord Jesus Christ, as much as it is about us becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ as he works in us and through us. You know, we in the missionary world, and I'm sure it's not unlike the church world here in North America today, we're looking for often the newest and the latest and the greatest ways of reaching as many people as we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. And hear me right, I'm not criticizing ways of doing things. We need to plan, we need to do things well, but those things that we do need to be backed up by a life that reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I've been meditating on some of these verses in the last little while. And I think they help us understand this fact a little bit more, of what it means to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to start reading at verse 16. Okay, Paul in this section, he's talking, in the previous section, he's talking about the Old Covenant, and for the Jewish people, of how that was a veil, and how that kept them from seeing the truth of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. But then he broadens it out when he gets into chapter 4, verse 4, in fact. And he says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. And if you were here this morning in our first service, that was one of the emphases we had in our service as we remembered the Lord around the table this morning, was that Jesus Christ is the exact likeness of God himself. In fact, he is God himself. And so there's this blindness that's going on, but then there's a miracle that takes place. Going back to chapter 3, verse 16, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. What a great thing. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. I love that analogy. The fact that Satan has blinded our eyes, but it's a miracle of God that takes place when we understand who is Jesus Christ. And I don't know everyone here this morning, and maybe you've come as a visitor, or you're not sure who the Lord Jesus Christ is this morning. But I want to declare very clearly this morning that he is the Son of God. He is God himself. And he is the only way in which we can have a relationship with our Creator God. And that happens when this miracle takes place, when the veil is lifted from our eyes and we can see who the Lord Jesus Christ is. In fact, I love verse 6 of chapter 4. Okay, just look down to verse 6. For God who said, let there be light in darkness. So Paul is referring back to what? He's referring back to creation. At creation, it was a miracle. The earth was formless and void, but God spoke into being. And it said, and Paul is saying here, let there be light in darkness. That's what God said. And he said, has made this light, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, shine in our hearts so that we can know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Folks, new rebirth, new creation is a miracle of God, as was creation in the beginning. It is God's work from beginning to end. Rebirth is not something that you and I can make happen ourselves. It's the work of God that happens in our hearts and our lives. It's a great thing. But too often, as I talk with believers today, they've become believers, and that's it. They're not continuing in the faith walk. They're not continuing to grow more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they like to look back to that day, and they can name the day when they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But that's not the end of the story for you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the privilege, in verse 18, it says, to reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ to a world that is around us day by day, that is lost, that needs to know of the hope that is within us. Christ in you, Paul says in Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory.
And we have the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of each one of us. And we are to be reflections of the Lord Jesus. But how does that happen? It happens as we read the rest of that verse. It says, as we are changed more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Question that I need to ask myself, we need to ask ourselves this morning. Are we becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ day by day as we walk with Him? It's a challenge I have in my life. I believe very sincerely that the world that is looking on around us today are looking for real people, real Christians, who are willing to be reflections of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just to talk the talk, but to walk the walk as well. That's what the world is looking for around us, is people who are continually being transformed by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when they see us, they're attracted not to us, but to someone greater than us, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's really not about us. The message we have is about the Lord Jesus. Look down in verse 5 of chapter 4. We don't go around preaching ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let there be light in darkness, has made His light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, I love this verse as well. And Maureen and I have taken this as part of our life verse. But we have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay pots. We're crack pots. That's all we are, containing this great treasure. And this great treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's He who lives within us. And this makes it clear that our great power is not from us, but it's from God. And folks, as we share about Albania, the things that are happening in Albania today, it's really not because of Murray and Maureen. We have the privilege of being there. We have the privilege of being His ambassadors, His channels. But it's about what God is doing. Because the message is Jesus Christ. And that's what we are about in Albania. And that's what we are to be about here in North America, no matter where we are. That is the message we have, is Jesus Christ. And it's one that is to be spoken, but also it's one that is to be lived. It's one that needs to be continually changing us and making us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that verse in Philippians 1, verse 6, and you don't have to turn to it for time's sake this morning, but it's God who began the good work in you. And He's going to continue that work until when? Until the day when Jesus Christ returns. Folks, God saved us to be His children, and He saved us so that we can be His reflection of who the Lord Jesus is. We're the body, we're the arms, the feet of Jesus Christ in our world today. And people are looking on us, looking at us and wondering, what is this about you? What makes you different? And the message we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good that we can do great things for the Lord Jesus Christ, but I believe it's more important who we are as we do those things. That there's a real integrity between our doing and our speaking, and that our lives be reflections. And this is something Maureen and I had to learn very early in the early days when we went to Albania, because we couldn't speak in Albanian during that time. And so here we are moving to the country thinking we're going to be great missionaries and we're going to tell all these people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we get there and for 3 years, we're like kindergartners. Grade two, grade three, slowly working up the level of language, just learning it so that we can communicate this great message that we have. And it can be pretty hard on your ego as adults, when you're learning a language. Come on over and join us. We'd love for you to come and learn. And we had to learn early that really, we can still love the people, regardless, even though we can't speak their language, Now we can, I'm starting to preach in Albanian over there, and I love it. I love to be able to communicate in Albanian, and it's great to give the message that we have, but it's more about being than doing. And there is doing. There are many commands in Scripture that God gives us. We're to be imitators of God, therefore. In everything you do, you are His dear children. Live a life of love, following the example of Christ. Lots of verses that in Scripture. And this one is great as well for us as language learners. You know, if we could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't have love, we would be nothing but a noisy gong. And we've had to learn that in our lives, the importance of becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ as much as we are doing things for Him. Second thing we're learning is we need to be less driven by our agenda and more sensitive to people. Now, you need to understand Albanian culture for a moment. Albanians are more concerned about people than time. You know, if I was to say to Larry, tomorrow let's go have a coffee at Tim Hortons, Larry would probably think, okay, Murray wants to have a coffee, maybe we'll sit down for 20 minutes, maybe half an hour max, and boom, we're on our way, we're gone. In Albanian culture, time is love. And so when my Albanian friends say, Murray, let's go for coffee, it's hour and a half, 2 hours of time that goes by. And we from the West, I don't know about you, are you driven? Some of you people in this room? Sure. I don't think I'm the only Canadian that's driven. We are driven today by our agendas. We're driven by having to get so many things done in the day. And often, because of our drivenness, my drivenness, I'll speak to myself right now, I miss opportunities just to be Jesus to those around us. Mark chapter 10. Turn to Mark chapter 10. This to me is an amazing story of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love it. It hit me a couple of years ago actually as I was reading this chapter. Mark chapter 10. Starting at verse 32. You know this story well. It's the story of blind Bartimaeus. They were now on their way to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. So Jesus is with his disciples, and they're on their way to Jerusalem, and the disciples were filled with awe. And the people who were following behind were overwhelmed with fear. Taking the 12 aside, Jesus once more began to describe everything that was about to happen to them. Listen, he said, we're going to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and to the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to death and hand him over to the Romans. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him with a whip, and kill him. But after 3 days, he will rise again. You know, Jesus had been walking with his disciples for anywhere from 2 to 3 years at this point, and they're on their way to Jerusalem. Jesus has his sight set on what he really came to do. Hebrews said has a quote that says, I have come to do thy will, O God. And Jesus knew why he had come to earth. We celebrate that this time of year, Christmas, when Jesus comes to earth. But he came to earth for a very specific reason. And Jesus is explaining that reason right here to his disciples, that he was going to die. He was going to suffer. He was going to die. And he was going to rise again. And then as they're heading on to Jerusalem, can you believe it? The disciples are so self-centered, just like me. I'm self-centered too. They all of a sudden start arguing about who's going to sit beside the Lord Jesus. But I don't want to go there right now. I want to go down to the story of blind Bartimaeus. So here they are heading to Jerusalem. And they reach Jericho, verse 46. Mark 10:46. They reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he shouted out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then this verse 49. Look at this verse. This is an amazing verse. When Jesus heard him, he stopped. Those are amazing words in my mind. Here is the Son of God, Jesus the Lamb of God, who came and was setting his sights on Jerusalem to do the most magnificent work that could ever be done in dying on the cross for our salvation. But while he's on his way to Jerusalem, he's still listening to people. And he still stops to pay attention to the needy. To me, that's an amazing verse. Jesus stopped. Folks, I have a confession to make, because often in the busyness of my day, I don't hear people and I don't stop. I believe that God brings people into our lives regularly who are what I call them divine interruptions. They're people who we wish we could just push aside. I think the disciples were thinking that Bartimaeus was a bit of a nuisance right at this point. You know? So just be quiet. Stay over there on the side of the road. We're on the way to Jerusalem. You know, we have bigger and better things to do. But that's not the Lord Jesus. He heard and he stopped. Those are amazing words. I don't do that very well in my life sometimes. And there's people around me in Albania that I wish sometimes I could put aside. We run into lots of needy people that need not only the Lord Jesus, but have many physical needs at the same time. There's many people, Albanians do not like their country. They do not want to live in their country. They, in fact, most of them hate Albania. And this fellow on my right, his name is Blady. Blady was our first landlord when we moved there. And Blady, I started having coffee with Blady. He had lots of time. And so we started doing coffees. But it just, after a while, it got to be the same old story being rehearsed of how awful Albania is. And I want to get out of Albania, or, you know, something needs to happen. And so he's not the type of guy that I wanted to have coffee with too often. But he liked to have coffee. So he kept asking me, and we would go for coffees regularly, whether it's once or twice a month. Finally, I said to Blady, "Blady, would you study the Bible with me? Would you take the time? And let's just get together on Sunday afternoons, and let's just start studying." He said, "Sure, I'll do that." Blady's a doctor. He trained as a physician, family physician, and never worked a day as a family physician in his life because of the corruption that's in the country. And that's another whole story that I can't go into today. But Blady is hungry for spiritual things. So he said, "Sure, I'll study the Bible with you." So Sunday afternoons, he and I and another friend of mine, we started another chronological Bible study. We found in Albania, at least because of the atheism of communism that ruled that country for so long, that we need to start right from the beginning to give them a base to stand on. Because you don't understand why the Lord Jesus came if you don't understand sin and how sin entered the world and how it has affected the world. After about 8 months, Blady professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that. I thank God that he didn't keep asking me. He didn't stop asking me for those coffees. That he kept persistent with me. But he was one of those people in my ear that I wished I could have just pushed aside. But he kept asking. And God finally impressed upon my heart, study the Bible with him. And we did it. And he became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes I'm too busy to listen to those people who come into my life. It's one thing to be reflectors of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to be reflectors. We need to be those doers, those imitators that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 5. But we also have to be people whose lives intersect with the unsaved as well. We need to take the gospel to the people where they are at the same time. And so it's great that we're wonderful believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but if we stay in our homes and we stay in our communities and we don't go to where the people are, how are they going to hear the Lord Jesus Christ? And so we have to be people who are sensitive to the cries of those around us and take advantage of those opportunities. We've learned many, many, many more things while living in Albania, but those are two things today that I want to leave with you. Two questions for us as we leave here today. Are we becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ daily? Do we take His precious word and read it and allow it to change us? And as we're changing and becoming more like Him, are we sensitive to those around us also? And it can be family. It can be neighbors. It can be people we work with every day. Are we sensitive to those opportunities that God brings in our lives to share the great news that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Two things I think we can pray for one another as we leave here today. You can pray for us, and we will pray for you here. Really, we're all about the same business, are we not? We're all ambassadors. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that we will take time to spend with our Father, our Heavenly Father, so that we will become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Imitators of Jesus. It can't happen unless we get to know Him. So we've got to get to know Him if we want to be like Him. And it's a great challenge for me. Secondly, pray that we will stop in our busy schedules, that we will take time in our busy schedules to hear and stop when we hear of those who are moving around us, so that we might be that light, be that salt, be that channel of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray as we finish our time together. Father, what a privilege it is for Maureen and I to serve in Albania. And Lord Jesus, we are the same as our brothers and sisters here at Westview, our same as our brothers and sisters who live here in Victoria. We're about the business of sharing the good news, the only good news, the only message of hope that we have for the world, and it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You for Jesus Christ who came. Lord Jesus, we thank You that He came as a babe, but He came with the very specific purpose to be the Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Lord, we have the special privilege of being Your children, reflectors of You. We have the special privilege of being Your ambassadors. And so, Lord, I pray that this week, as we dive into Your word every day, that Your word would become alive in our hearts, that we would become responsive to Your word and be changed, that we would put away sinful patterns in our lives, that we would be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that as we go about our daily work in our families, in our jobs, with our neighbors, wherever we are, that You would give us ears to hear those people around us who are crying out and need to be touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, I thank You for my brothers and sisters here this morning. Bless them, encourage them, use them, I pray, in this part of the world. Help us all, I pray, to be faithful to the great message that we have because of Jesus. And it's in the name of the Lord Jesus I pray. Amen. Thank you very much for having us this morning. We'll be here for a few minutes after if you want to chat with us about Albania more. We'd love to tell you more stories, but we might be here for a few hours if we didn't answer.